Luke chapter 10. Has it been loud enough today, the PA? It's a little quiet. Loud enough? Okay. Luke chapter 10. And this story, just to give you the context here, is Jesus sent the disciples out to preach the gospel, and they went out. He said, go two by two and do it this way, and he sent them out to do that work, and they did it, and they had amazing miracles. They had miracle after miracle. God provided for them. He told them, don't even take an extra coat. Don't take money. Just let God provide for you, and then they went out and did it, and they were able to do miracles, and they literally, people were healed and demons were cast out, and it was a great time. And they're all excited about that. And they came back, and verse 17 is where we'll start, Luke 10:17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, Behold, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. I almost never, when I've heard this passage preached, do we talk about this, that verse 18 right there. There's that short little thing Jesus said, but if you notice, they start talking about them a little bit. If you look at them, it says, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." I think the focus of that verse is us. Look what we did. Look what we can do through your name. We've done a lot, and Jesus just got that flash in his mind again of Satan. Because Satan said, I shall be like the Most High. I shall, you know, exalt myself at the throne of God. And don't get proud about what you're able to do. You know, if you can do anything good, it's only a gift from God. What dost thou have that thou art not given? And it's very easy for those of you who are gifted to when you use your gift, to get very proud about your gift. And kind of you become the focus. And it happens to the most spiritual people. Soon, even a preacher who's gifted in preaching will start talking about what he is able to do, and forget that without Christ you can do nothing. And he says, you know, you can't do anything without me. And don't get proud. And if you're smart or you're this or that, you didn't pick your brain. You didn't go and raise your IQ, and you didn't go and make your size if you're athletic or whatever. You were gifted. You might have worked hard, but don't get proud. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and on scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. By the way, this isn't for snake handlers. I can step on scorpions. Let's go stomp on scorpions barefooted. That's for people who are doing God's work who need that. If a person, and the Great Commission, he says, I give you all power. All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. There are a bunch of promises in the Bible that are so conditional that every Christian claims. And you don't have a right to claim that. If you're not going witnessing, don't expect the miracles of Mark 16 or the miracles that if you're going to the mall and you reach your hand in the pet shop and a snake bites you, don't say, I'm claiming Mark 16. Well, you're hanging out at the mall. The snake bite might kill you. But if you're going to the jungles and you're going to preach the gospel, you don't need to fear, because God can take care of you miraculously because you're doing his work. And so those who aren't laborers for Christ, there's a lot of things they don't enjoy. And that's why you want to be in the ministry this year. And he says, I give you power, and all those things, nothing will by any means hurt you. Verse 20, notwithstanding in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. I want to talk about joy today, and today we're going to go to fullness of joy. And this is part two of our lessons on joy. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray today as we study your word, we'd find out about fullness of joy and the reason we can have joy and how to have it fulfilled in us, Lord. And as Jesus said, that my joy might be fulfilled in them, Lord. I need your wisdom. I need your power. And I need an anointing to come upon me to preach your word with clarity. And I pray that every heart would be listening and paying close attention as if they were at a seminar to learn how to make $1 million or get a new car. I pray today, Lord, we'd listen carefully and closely and have your spirit moving. I pray you control my mind and my words, and I pray to every individual that ever hears this message that you would personally speak to them, and you'd give me your power, Lord, and fill me. And we claim Luke 11:13, you said, if we be in evil, let it give good gifts to your children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? We ask that power would not be quenched today, and the power of the Spirit would speak. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said, hey, it's great to have that power, and it'd be great to have those kind of miracles and do those things. And that's a great thing. But he says, don't rejoice in this. You want to rejoice. And the word rejoice means to express your joy and be happy about something. In other words, be happy or have your joy or have your inner peace and contentment inside and express how good things are. Not that you can do miracles, but express it that and be happy and put your inner peace, your inner joy, in that your names are written in heaven. In heaven, there's what's called the Lamb's Book of Life, and the Bible talks about it in Revelation 20 and other spots. And this Book of Life is the reservation book for heaven. You don't get there because you're a good person. And the Bible says that God, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, He writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He writes it there. He also says, if your name's not in the Book of Life, the first thing when you die, God will look, sees if your name's in the Book of Life. If the name's in the Book of Life, you are not judged according to your works. Christ already fulfilled your righteousness. And if I was judged according to my works, I would go to hell. And fortunately, God will just look in the reservation book and says, his name's in here, he goes into heaven. If your name is not in that reservation book, the Lamb's Book of Life, the Bible says you are judged according to your deeds. And he opens up the books, plural, and those books are the books of your works. And he looks to see if your works are worthy of heaven. Well, the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if he says your name's not in the Book of Life, then he's going to judge you according to your works. And if he sees one sin, you have to go to hell. And you don't get to go to heaven. He says, rejoice that your name's in the Book of Life. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, that means you realize your sins are going to keep you from heaven, and Jesus died for your sins, and he's the way to heaven. And you say, Lord, I need you to save me. I can't save myself. And you trust Christ completely to take away your sins. Right then, God writes your name in the Book of Life. You're not judged according to your deeds. You're not saved by going to church or living a good life. You're getting to heaven because your name's in the Book of Life, because Jesus died for you, and you accepted that. He says, rejoice. Don't rejoice in the miracles you're able to do. Rejoice because your name is written in the Book of Life. Your name is in the reservation book. Your name is there, and rejoice in that. And the foundation, as we talked about last week, we had the foundation of joy we talked about, and we didn't really get to this point here, is the foundation of joy is the presence of God, and the presence of God is through being saved and knowing Him. You know you're going to heaven, so you can rejoice in that. If you think you're going to heaven, you can't really rejoice because you don't know for sure. If you're 99% sure you're going to heaven, you can't rejoice in that because you don't know for sure. But when you're 100% sure of heaven because you know Jesus has saved you and you know your name's the Book of Life, you can rejoice in that. Joy is that calm delight, the gladness of heart. It's not happiness, remember. Happiness and joy are not the same. Happiness comes and goes. Happiness is determined on circumstances and how you feel and what you ate and how you slept and whether your football team won and all the things that happen and come and go. That's happiness. Joy is much deeper than that. It is a calm delight in your soul. Happiness usually comes from the outside. You give me a $100 bill today, I'll be happy. You take away my $100 bill, I might not be happy. But I can have joy whether you give me a $100 bill or don't. Watch, let's try that. Where's my volunteers? It won't take away the joy whether I have $100 in my wallet or not. It won't do that. Because joy is deeper. It's a calm delight in your inner soul, and it comes from God. Happiness comes from all kinds of things. If I have a good meal this afternoon, I'll be fat and happy. If you're nice to me today, I'll be a little happier. If you give me $100 bills, we're going to keep saying that, and we're not going to be dismissed until it happens. You give me a $100 bill, I'm a little happier. If we have a good crowd at church, I'll be a little happier. But you'd never see me not joyful at church. You'd never see me miserable here. I'll be happier when certain people are here today that I've really been hoping would be here. And they're here, and I'm happier because of that. But if nobody shows up, I can still have joy. I've done it many times. Just my family here. And I can still have joy because joy runs deeper. Joy is that calm delight in your soul, not the happiness. Your flesh makes you happy. Let me tell you, when I was in the hospital, but I wasn't there because I was sick, but I was in the hospital and was sick, and I was sick last night and I was being a wimp. I am a wimp. Break my arm? Oh, well. No, that's not that good. But But you know what? I can take the pain. Doesn't bother me. When I'm sick, boy, I am not happy. I am a whiner. Money! And then I don't want anything. There's nothing I really want. It's like, what do you need? Nothing! Oh, I'm miserable! I did not have happiness right then. How many of you are wimps when you get the flu like me? That's right. Good. That's good people there. And so I was not happy, but my soul was still okay. My soul was still okay. And you know what? You can have joy. Joy is deeper. And you know what? I don't want to lose my joy. The joy is your strength, the Bible says in Nehemiah. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And we just talked about a couple things last week, just to review real briefly. Joy does not come from easy times. It says we joy in tribulation. You do not have joy because you have easy times. People in the Bible who had very hard times, like the Apostle Paul, said, I have joy right now. You're not going to have that easy of times in this world. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. You're not going to have easy times in this world. Hard times come, and you cannot escape hard times in this life. Your health is going to have issues. You're gonna have financial problems. Your car is going to break down. Your roof is going to leak. Hard times happen. You're going to get laid off. But you don't have to be like this all the time. So many people are like that. See, joy is your stability. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You won't get so unhappy that you're suicidal or miserable or hopeless ever if you have joy. It's an anchor that you can only go so far. You can go, if this is joy right here and I'm anchored right here, I can go over to here and be a little down one day and be a little sad one day. I can go over here and be pretty happy one day, and I can go here and there. But the joy keeps me from going too far down. It's an anchor, and you want to have that joy. And it does not come from easy times. Easy times will not determine your joy level at all. It'll determine your happiness level, maybe. And if you don't have joy, it'll totally determine your happiness level. If you don't have joy, your entire life is determined by how things are going. Oh, my health is good right now. I'm happy. Oh, my boss gave me a raise. I'm happy. Oh, my boss hates my guts. I'm sad. Oh, my wife isn't nice today. I'm miserable. Oh, too much pepperoni pizza last night. Oh, my stomach hurts. I'm sad. That's just the way your whole life goes, because everything's circumstance. One guy cuts you off on the highway, you're ready to speak in tongues, and all of a sudden your car doesn't start, and your whole day's ruined. And you know what? Your whole day shouldn't get ruined very often. But how many of us get our day ruined by one red light? A ticket on the way to church, if you get a ticket on the way to church and he's following you, go to Kingdom Hall and park there. But if you on your way to wherever, all of a sudden, you wake up grumpy. You know, sometimes I'm just a bear in the morning. Sometimes you just don't sleep good and you're not happy when you wake up. Sometimes you just are going to have that, but your joy will keep you strong. Don't let your whole day get ruined because of bad things. Have a joy that's much deeper than that. Secondly, joy doesn't, or it doesn't come from easy times, but it does come from the presence of God. And read a verse that says that later. There's a lot of things. Most of the Bible, when it talks about joy, it comes from being in the presence of God. Only that can happen. I did not say from going to church, although that helps because God is at church. I did not say from you saying you're a Christian. I mean the presence of God. There's many people who say they are Christians who don't have joy. There's many people who say they're Christians who do not have that joy because they are not personally in the presence of God. And I can't put you in the presence of God. You've got to get in the presence of God. By the way, you want to know why there's so much conflict in some of your houses? Because everything in the atmosphere is not bringing the presence of God in your house. What's on the walls, what's in the radio, what's being talked about, what's on TV is driving away the presence of God, and you have a house full of strife. You want to have the presence of God in your home because it brings joy to your home, and it's a happier place. Joy is a calm delight, a gladness of heart. I think of C.T. Studd. He was a great missionary to China in the 1800s, and a man who sacrificed a lot. He was the greatest athlete in his nation at the time and in the most important sport. He would be like Peyton Manning or Tom Brady, and he was very famous in his nation. And his whole team, it was a cricket player in England, and that was the big sport at that time. And literally the whole team surrendered the mission field and went to the mission field. It was the biggest news of every newspaper in the world, and they went to the mission field. And we'd be glad if some of the Seahawks did that when we replaced them. But we could use some of them going somewhere. Um, but uh, we go and he went to the mission field, and on the ship he went through, many missionaries are going to China at that time from England, and the ship master, the captain of the ship, hated Christians. And he loved to irritate them. And the man hated Christianity so bad, he would read the Bible to find arguments to irritate the Christians. And boy, he tried to get them. And C.T. Studd got in the boat, and he was a godly man and a man who was very serious about serving God and had great joy and peace because he was close to God. And on the boat, the captain came up to him and started mocking him and making fun of him and started saying, Christianity is such a joke and such a lie. And oh, there's so many things in the Bible that are so ridiculous. And boy, you're wasting your entire life going to wasting all that potential you have and going to the heathens over there. You're wasting your life. And he started mocking the Bible. And C.T. Studd waited till he got all done and put his arm around him and gave him a big hug and says, but I have joy and I have peace. How about you? And the man said these words. He said, you are one lucky dog. He says, I can argue intellectually, but I don't have that. And C.T. Studd, throughout that trip, continued to live as a Christian. By the end of that trip, that man was a Christian and got saved. Why? Because he saw that the world can't have real joy and peace. If a major terrorist attack happens today, they'll be in the dumps. If the economy collapses more, everything's bad. Their health is shot, some tragedy happens in their family, there's no hope for peace or joy. It's just happiness that comes and goes. And that happiness can be changed in one drunk driver swerving on the wrong side of the road. One bad circumstance they aren't prepared for, one bad word from a doctor and everything's shot. But if you have joy, you don't have to be like that. That's the foundation of joy we laid last week. But this week, the Bible mentions, we want to go to where God mentions something more than just joy, but it's what we call fullness of joy. And we'll read several verses that will, four or five verses that talk about, I want you to have joy, but I want you to have fullness of joy. If today, if you have food, you can be happy. You have food. Doesn't mean you'll enjoy your food. And doesn't mean you'll be full. We'll go eat with my kids, and I was the same way, still the same way. And we'll eat a big meal, and all of a sudden, and we're blessed to do that, by the way. Enjoy it every time you get to eat till you're full. All the world doesn't get to do that. And you go, and we'll eat with our kids, we'll have a big old meal, and they'll say, I'm stuffed. We don't tell them we have some treats. You're stuffed. Oh, man, I can't eat another bite. Come on, finish up that little bit of broccoli there. Oh, I can't eat another bite. Oh, that's two bags. We have ice cream tonight. No, I'm not full. Now they've learned to say, I have an ice cream stomach. And they say, my ice cream stomach is still empty. They say it's a separate stomach. And that's what Brooke always tells me now. My ice cream stomach is not full at all. And so I need some ice cream. And so then all of a sudden you'd be surprised how a full kid, how many of you have an ice cream stomach when you're all full? That's all? Oh, man, you're something wrong with you. We all have that. Anybody who's normal. And you have a treat stomach. And boy, those kids will all of a sudden, then you give it to them. And then they're stuffed. It's nice to have food and to eat. That's good. And you know what? You could eat dry bread and get food. And you can be, you know what? I've eaten and I'm satisfied. But you know what? I like being full. I like a good full meal where I get as much as I want and as good at the end and give me dessert with whipped cream and cherry on top. And then I'm really happy. I'm stuffed. I feel great. Don't make me do anything. Where's the recliner? And you're full. You know, with joy, you can get a little bit of joy just from being saved. And that's a good thing. And you know what? That's great. You should have that. And you're happy to be saved and happy to have that. But you know what? You can get fullness of joy. Bible calls it joy unspeakable. You're so full and so rich that you can really get a fullness of joy where it's a full gas tank. Isn't that a great feeling? My gas tank is all the way full. You say, you know what? I'm happy to have gas in my car. You know what? I'm happy to have gas in my car. But I like a full tank. I like being full. I like having a full tank. I don't want to just get enough to be satisfied. And by the way, if you get the joy of the Lord, you'll be satisfied. But don't you want fullness of joy? Don't you want something where it's bubbling out? Let's go to John 15. Let me just give you a few verses here about this. How do you get this fullness of joy? How do you go from just having joy because you're a Christian and just joy because you're saved and joy because of that, to getting fullness of joy. I just want to just spend a little bit of time on this. We have five ways to fullness of joy. John chapter 15, verse 9. John chapter 15 and verse 9, we're going to look at fullness of joy. As a father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. He says, if you do these things I've just spoken to you, my joy will remain in you, and your joy will be full. Well, the immediate context of what he's talking about there is abiding in his love. He says, the Father loved me, and I have loved you. Now take that love and love each other. And if you do that, my Father will love you, and you'll stay right there in his love. With a parent-child relationship, just like it's called a father here, you have a child who is your child, who is in your, who you love. Yet sometimes they're not in your love. They're in your wrath. Or they're not in contact with you. You can have a child who's estranged from you, but they're still your child, but they're not abiding in your love. You know, if a child gets close to you, you know, you've got that child who snuggles up to you and tells you the best mom and dad in the world, and your child who's your friend, your child who's being good, that child is close to you. God says, you will stay in my love and be in good, close quarters with me and feel my love and abide in my love and feel my presence and have fullness of joy if you stay in my love. And the way to stay in my love in this verse is to abide in my love by loving one another. It says, if you continue in my love, then my Father will love you in a special way. He'll say, you know what? I like the way you're loving. You know how it is. You ever watch your kids fight? I can't handle my kids fighting. Drives me nuts. And I've learned this new thing I say now. I say, well, if you guys can just settle it, or I'll settle it. And I tell them, I said, if you guys have a petty fight with each other, you have a big fight with me. Because I can't take when they don't get along. Drives me bananas. And I have strong-willed kids. And they fight sometimes because they're humans. Because they get their strong will from I don't know who. And you know what? I want them to be right there with the love of their father and the love of their mother and love for each other. But if they're fighting and having strife and not loving each other, listen, you don't know real joy until you really love Christians and get along with other Christians, and until you really dwell in God's love. By the way, you leave the will of God for your life, you wander around in sin and leave God's presence, you will not find joy in life outside of God's presence. You're not abiding in his love. The whole chapter 15, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, I in the vine, ye the branches, he that abideth in me, same bringeth forth much fruit. Abiding means remain. Staying in the love of God, staying close to God, staying in his love by loving other people. The love of God and staying in that love brings full joy. When I was in Bible college, I think the closest I've ever gotten to God, I was working on campus. I was just spending the weekends in the ministry in Chicago, but I was never around anything bad. It was the perfect atmosphere, and preaching every day and Bible classes every day. And I was just, my prayer life was just better than it's ever been. And I got for the first time in my life where I was actually praying without ceasing. And I was just close to God. And boy, everything was going, I mean, I was spiritually just, I was where I'd never been before. And I got so close to God. I had never been that close. And I just remember God just speaking to me. And he just said, I'm very pleased with you. What do you want? Anything. And I remember at that time, I was so fulfilled because I was so close to God, I couldn't think of anything I wanted. Since then, I've kicked myself. What was I thinking? Should ask for $1 million or get my diploma earlier. My wife had decided to marry me or something. I could have thought of that. But you know what? I'm not close to God. I want things. Give me this. Give me that. I want. When I'm close to God, I find, the Bible says, my joy is fulfilled in them. You're so richly full, it's like, you know what? You want this? No, I'm full. You want this? Here's some good food. I'll get you a bacon burger. Nope, I'm full. Biscuits and gravy? Nope. Ribs? No. Chocolate cake? Nope. You hungry? And I'm saying, you're full already. And when you get when you are really close to God, I'm not just saying you're doing the good actions. I mean you're close to a person. He's a person. You find yourself so fulfilled, you don't need anything else to make you fulfilled and joyful. You don't have to have all those things. You don't have to have the relationships. You don't have to have the sin. You don't have to have the drugs, the alcohol. That's what, by the way, that's what everybody's escape. Everybody's sin is just an escape. I'm going to become rich someday. You just need God. No, I need money. I'll be happy if I have money. You never get there. You have happiness, but it doesn't fulfill you. But, I'll go take drugs. And you're satisfied if you took them one time, right? No. I just need to go get the beautiful this person and go commit this immorality with the right people. And then you're satisfied, right? Oh, if you just get this much money, if you just get this car, if you just get this job, if you just get this thing, you never get there. You're chasing the wind. You only get fulfilled by the presence of God. Abiding in God's love. I thought of this, joy, J-O-Y. Jesus is a J, Y is the U. But I thought, interestingly enough, the O is a zero. It's nothing between you and God. When there's nothing between you and God, you have joy when you're abiding in His love. It's the same as Psalm 16:11. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Being close to God, and by the way, when you wander away from God, you'll find yourself doing a whole bunch of bad things suddenly to try to make up for the goodness you felt in the presence of God. Because you don't ever make it up. I did all the worldly things before I was a Christian, did all the things and had all the fun. And you know what? It was fun and made me happy. But it never fulfilled my soul. And you know what? I don't have to do those things anymore to be happy. Because now I have joy that overrides the need for happiness. And the happiness comes from joy. I don't have to go get drunk. I don't have to go do drugs. I don't have to go do this or that to go and feel like I have a joy because to feel like I'm happy. Because in God's presence, being close to God, abiding in His love, staying in His will, loving other Christians, and pleasing Him. Number one is abiding in God's love brings fullness of joy. Number two, just a little farther forward in John 16. Fullness of joy. Verse 24. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name, John 16:24. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. You can have joy without getting prayers answered. You can have joy because you're saved. But you cannot have joy without getting your prayers answered. Joy comes from getting prayers answered. Get a prayer life going. You have not because you ask not. Make a prayer list, folks. Write down what you're asking God for and ask specifically. Don't worry. Don't get frustrated. Don't sit there and gripe about things. That's not praying. Go to God and say, Lord, I need this job. Lord, I need you to provide this thing. Lord, I need you to save so-and-so. Lord, I need you to help me with this thing. And Lord, I need help with this. And ask for what you want. You will have joy when your prayers get answered. But you got to ask specifically. Joy comes from abiding in God's love. It comes from getting your prayers answered. Ask that you may receive, that your joy may be full. It is fun to get your prayers answered. It is fun when you ask for something and you see it happen. It is fun when God answers specifically exactly what you asked for or gives you something even better. Next, number three, how to get fullness of joy. It's faith in eternity with God. Let me take you way back to 1 Peter toward the end of your Bible. It's faith in heaven. It's called hope. It brings, when you have faith, you're going to be with God forever. 1 Peter chapter 1. Knowing you're going to see God, knowing you're going to see Jesus, knowing you're going to be in His presence. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. Whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see Him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, knowing that you're going to be with God forever. Hope is looking forward to it. Hope is knowing a good thing's coming. You know how it is before you get ready for vacation. Oh, we're going to get this. As soon as this day comes, I'm gone. Or before you retire. Or before you are going to go do something you really want to do. You get right as soon as you get to work, you're going to go do something fun. You're looking forward to something you know is coming. Not as much like that on vacation sometimes nowadays, is it? It's all stress and worry and packing and yelling and fighting and screaming at people. Hopefully it's not that when you're getting ready to go on vacation. But when you know that something good is coming, we just found out this summer we're going to be going on a vacation down in Lincoln City with a family for 7 days. You know, I think I had 1 7-day vacation in ever. and going down that, you know what? I'll be looking forward to doing that in August. It'll be a lot of fun. And waiting for that day to come. And you know how it is when you're looking forward to something. You're looking forward to the expectation. There is the peace in knowing that you're going to heaven. And that comes from focusing. See, how many of you know for sure you're going to heaven today? Raise your hand. Okay? You can put your hands down. But how many of us that know that, it gets kind of old? How many of us that know that, as we talked about last week, it becomes, okay, I know that. It's kind of like, well, I know I'm going to heaven, but you know, you've got to meditate on it. You got to think there's no more tears, nor sorrow, no pain there. You got to think about streets of gold and the presence of God, fullness of joy. You know, you just got to meditate on it and think it's better than anything in the world and realize that is your future for billions of years. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. Just think about it. It's going to be forever and ever in fullness of joy and happiness that, and never another pain or worry, no more bills, no more frustration, no more mean people, no more traffic, no more anything bad. It's just paradise forever, better than you can think of. All Christians who are saved are going to heaven, but few have joy unspeakable. Why? Because they don't really think about heaven very much. They don't really just get excited about what's going to happen. We live such an easy life. You know, I think that Christians and other nations have a huge advantage on us in this thing. Christians who live in a shack or a hut, Christians who live with disease and sickness and see pain all around them, we, our worst problem, our battery in our remote dies. Our worst problem, our car breaks down and we have to call somebody. Our worst problem, we get the flu for a day and a half. I mean, we can have worse problems than that, and some of you do have worse problems. We understand we live in comfort that kings didn't have 200 years ago. Warm baths, heated houses. It is so ridiculous, folks. Life is so easy for us. If you have a headache, you get an aspirin. If you have a pain, you can take something. There's a medication for everything. Our lives are so cush, and our lives are so easy and so comfortable. We have heated seats in our car. Life is so comfortable and so easy for us. And you say, I don't live like that. I don't live spoiled rotten. Travel the world. Read history. Read the history of bubonic plague and flinging bodies over walls to plague during sieges. And read about body carts and the bombing of London in World War II. Go to some poor country and watch little kids with deformities because their moms drank the water, and that's what happens, and moms drink that water. See, we have a life that's so comfortable and so easy, and we'll go home and there's so much entertainment, and we'll watch TV and sit around and listen to any kind of music we want. You have a little tiny gadget called the iPod. You can listen to anything you want all day long. And you have heat in your car and heat in your house and air conditioning. And we have so many things. You're going to eat more than you should today, more than likely. Everything's so comfortable that it's hard to look forward to heaven. But sit there and think, your best day on earth, all the paradises of this world, the most fun and fulfillment you could have on earth is a terrible day in heaven. Look forward to it. It'll give you fullness of joy. On the worst day, when things are going bad, you have forever with God. And you don't have to be down. You can have fullness of joy. Next, where do we get fullness of joy? Go to 1 John, which is just forward from where we are in 1 Peter. The next place, 1 John chapter 1. See, if I read the verses, if you can figure out where we get the fullness of joy from. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that we may also have fellowship with you. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. We Where do we get the fullness of joy from in this verse? It's from fellowship. Fellowship. It says fellowship with two people, other Christians and the Father. That brings fullness of joy. Come on up here, Matthew. Come on up here, Brian. So I've got these two guys here, and we're going to have fellowship. And our fellowship, though, isn't just fellowship of, man, wasn't that a great football game yesterday? Because
he doesn't like football.
And he doesn't know that much about football. We're not going to have fellowship about golfing, because only these guys like golf. Get down here. Never mind. But we can fellowship on good food. Yeah, that's right. We can fellowship about that and talk about that. Man, wasn't that good? Old Country Buffet, isn't that a great breakfast? We all like those taco salads. Aren't those good? Man, you like those taco salads?
I love those taco salads.
You like those taco salads?
They're free.
Free, and that's good stuff, man. Don't you like it? And we can fellowship about that. That's fellowship. We're relating about things. And as you can look at us, we're well-rounded Christians from this in more ways than one. And some of us have had too many of those things. All of us have. And it happens. It's part of being an Open Door Baptist. You become a well-rounded Christian. And so we fellowship about that. But you know, the really fellowship that we really get joy from, the really close fellowship we get from, is the fellowship with the Father. It says, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. Man, isn't it great? When you got saved, when did you get saved again, Matthew?
November 1997.
That's awesome. Man, isn't it great to know you're going to heaven? What's your favorite thing about heaven?
Oh,
eating.
What's your favorite thing about heaven?
The fact I'm not going to hell.
What's your favorite thing about heaven?
A bigger house.
A bigger house? That's good. No mortgage payment?
Amen.
All right, that'd be awesome. Wouldn't it be great not to pay rent every month? Man, you know, it's awesome. You know, the greatest, you know, I'm excited about getting a new body. Man, this one here, it's a little oversized and got a few aches and pains and too much Old Country Buffet there. But, you know, I mean, I can't wait to get a new body that'll never feel pain. I mean, I've got a knee ache and this and that, and I have to tape my finger up because this pinky's broke, and I got the flu this week. You ever had the flu?
Yes.
Don't you? No flu in heaven. That's the other place. And isn't that going to be great to go to? Man, did you read your Bible this week?
Yes, I did.
What'd you read?
Genesis and Exodus.
Genesis and Exodus. What's your favorite part of Genesis?
The beginning, the flood.
The flood. Man, that's quite a story. You know, I really like reading about Joseph. You know, I'm not very spiritual, but I want get him, Joseph! And I can't wait till Joseph gets him. And I'm also, I get mad when I read Genesis because I always want Esau to kill Jacob. And that really bothers me. And you know, I love it. In Exodus, boy, I love the way God brings Moses back. And what are you reading your Bible?
I'm reading Judges.
Judges. Oh, man. Doesn't Israel drive you nuts in Judges?
Oh, yes, they do.
Crazy. Yes. If I were God, I'd have zapped them all. I would have been just zapping everybody left and right. And, man, it's that book is something else. That's right. And I'm, you know what? God is so merciful. Isn't God merciful? Because you know what? I'm as bad as Israel sometime. I know you're as bad as Israel.
I have much experience.
You're worse, man. You're worse than me. And so we have fellowship. And we talk about heaven, and we fellowship. And we'll talk about, man, when you prayed, you ever got so close to God when you prayed that all you could do was just cry out God, and you just can't even say a word? Man, it's just, it's so amazing to get close to God. It's like, man, what am I, all day long I've been so petty. And you feel like that, man, you're praying to God and you're so fulfilled in your heart. And you think, man, why did I mess up today? Why did I play around? And why was I so petty? Man, God, I am so, and you fellowship. You guys can be seated. The fellowship is so great when you're close to God. The fellowship with other Christians. So you should come to church and you get around other people. And you know what? Hey, you know what the great thing is? At a church like ours, there's somebody for you to fellowship with. You say, oh, pastor, you don't know how bad I am. There's nobody at church like me. I bet you there is. If you want me to connect you, just tell me. I'll connect you to the other person like you. Then I'll watch you two together. You know what? You can fellowship with somebody, and somebody knows what it's like to quit smoking, and somebody knows what it's like to be mistreated, and somebody knows what it's like to walk with God and finally get your life fulfilled, and somebody knows what it's like to struggle to change their music when the music's bad, and somebody knows what it's like to have a drug problem, and somebody knows what it's like, and you can fellowship with somebody at church. But the fellowship with the Father is your prayer life, and it's you walking with God, and that's where you really get fulfilled. See, how's your prayer life? I'm too busy. You're miserable because you're too busy. You're not too busy. Turn the TV off. You won't be too busy. Spend time fellowshipping with God. Fellowship with other Christians. That's why you need to go to church. And fellowshipping with God. Father, I want to spend some time with you. I want to tell you I love you. I want to cast all my care upon you. I want to praise you. Fellowshipping with the Father will fulfill you with fullness of joy. And fellowshipping with other Christians. Sit at home and try to worship God at home. You will not get the joy of fellowship. You need to go to church. The last thing, and if you go forward, just a second John, which is the next book in the Bible. The thing that brings fullness of joy, we said fullness of joy comes from abiding in God's love. It comes from getting answers to prayer. It comes through faith in an eternity with God. It comes from fellowship. And lastly, it comes from seeing your spiritual children doing well. 2 John, verse 12. I have many things to write unto you. I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face that your joy may be full. That's part of the fellowship, but it's also part of me seeing you. And if you go to 3 John, our memory verse, verse 4. 3 John, this is the next page. I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. Here's no greater joy. No greater joy, 3 John 4. Listen, these weren't John's physical children, although it's true about your physical children also. You have no greater joy than to see your spiritual children walk in truth. You know what? One of my favorite things in the world is just seeing some people on Sunday. They're my spiritual children. I either won them to Christ or discipled them or brought them out of trouble or got them off drugs or bailed them out of jail or whatever I did. I get to see them walking in truth. And what a joy that is to see them serving God, to see them with victory, to see them reading their Bible on their own and see them praying on their own and see them winning souls on their own and seeing them going to church on their own and see them with their own walk with God. There's no greater joy. And by the way, when your children, your physical children, they're also your spiritual children. And you look down and say, my kids are going to church. My kids are praying. My kids are saved. My kids are love God. My kids are spiritual. Boy, that fulfills your heart more than your kids being the next CEO of Intel. Some people overrate your kids being earthly successful. Let your kid work at a middle-class job and have a middle-class income and drive an average car, but let them be godly. I don't care if my kids make $1 million ever, unless they're going to give it to me. I don't care if my kids ever make $1 million. I really don't. I'd rather them just be godly kids who walk with God. I don't care if they live in an apartment or a house. I don't care if they live in a mansion. I don't care if they're in America or Africa or wherever they are. It doesn't matter to me. I want to see them walking with God. If they succeed and graduate with a PhD and go to college and are very successful and make $1 million and they don't serve God, I will not be happy with their life. Because there's no greater joy than to see your children walk in truth. You know, the greatest thing you can do is raise your children for God and then go out and win some converts to Christ and raise them and disciple them for Christ and see them grow. It is a great joy to see them grow. It is a great joy to see your spiritual children. There's no greater joy. Why? Because not only are you going to heaven, but they're going to be there, and you had a part in that. I gave them a track, and they came to church. I lived the Christian life in front of them, and they wanted what I had, and I was able to bring them to Christ. I prayed for them for years and years and years, and now they're serving God, and now they're more spiritual than me. Man, that's awesome. Praise the Lord. Man, I have no greater joy. There's no way to explain that except for getting in the ministry and watching it. And by the way, no greater heartache than to watch your children destroy their lives and not serve God. No greater heartache. When your kids disappoint you and your kids don't turn out, you will kick yourself saying, why didn't I go to church all the time? Why didn't I pray like I should? Why did I mess around? You will kick yourself saying, why did I not live like I should have? Oh, man, my kids are not going to be happy. I've already been there, kids. Listen to me. I've tried the world, and it's not going to satisfy you. You need to get in the presence of God and get close to God. I've been there both places. Boy, that's a tough spot when you have to say that. And they don't always listen for a while. No greater joy than to see my children walk in truth. Let me tell you, you get in the ministry and start living the Christian life and loving people and ministering to people and giving out tracts and inviting people to church and witnessing to people and discipling people and lifting up fallen people and somebody who's doing bad things. You help them get out of it, and you help someone quit drugs, and you help someone go to church, and you help someone to get their marriage fixed. Let me tell you, you will find no greater joy than that. It is awesome there's no greater joy than to see other people walking with God with joy on their face and joy in their hearts. That's fullness of joy. The king was often gone and always gone from his castle a lot of times. And one day a merchant was out there on the street and he looked up. It was getting twilight and he looked up and he said, "The king's in town. The king is in his palace. The king is there and he's back." And the man said, "How do you know that?" He says, "Because you look at the castle. The castle, when the king is on his throne, is all lit up and there's happy music." And when the Christian has the joy of the Lord in their life, they're all lit up and they're singing happy music. You sing, "Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. Heaven came down." And you're excited because I am a Christian and I'm fellowshipping with God and I'm going to heaven forever and I'm getting my prayers answered and I'm having fellowship with other Christians and I'm getting close to God and my children are walking in truth. And man, this is good. If it keeps getting better and better, oh Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. It's a good life. Fullness of joy. Hey, it's good enough to have joy and be saved, but I like fullness of joy. Good enough to get your stomach filled so you're not having stomach pains anymore, but why don't you get a good full meal in? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and how many different ways we see we can have a promise of fullness of joy. Joy unspeakable. Joy that's so good that we don't